From Jefferson Public Radio at Southern Oregon University, this is the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Coming up after the news, walking the Camino. If your Spanish is rusty, a Camino is a road or highway, and the particular Camino we'll discuss today runs a long way across northern Spain. People come from around the world to take the walk, and former Ashland resident Lydia Smith was among them. She was so impressed by walking the Camino that she returned with a documentary film crew to shoot Walking the Camino, 6 Ways to Santiago. You'll hear about the lure of the Camino, physical, emotional, spiritual, and how Lydia Smith approached her film about it. It screens in Ashland this weekend after rave reviews at the Ashland Independent Film Festival a few weeks back. Lydia Smith, Walking the Camino, and your phone calls and emails ahead on the Jefferson Exchange. First, the news of the hour. It's 9:06, and you're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. We broadcast live 8 to 10 weekday mornings and rebroadcast 8 to 10 weekday evenings. We're heard on radio stations serving Oregon and California, and we're also found online at jeffexchange.org. The features include a Listen Live link. You can use our streaming service to hear us anywhere in the world you can obtain internet service. We don't think we're blocked in China, but we'll take up that discussion later. It is Friday, May 3rd, 2013. Welcome to the weekend. I'm Jeffrey Riley, and I'm glad you're along for the ride today. In this hour, Walking the Camino. It is a process and also the name of a documentary film about the process by former Ashland resident Lydia Smith. The film shows in Ashland again this weekend. You'll hear all about it. And you can join us on the exchange in the discussion. Our phone number is 800-838-3760, toll-free anywhere in the region. In the Rogue Valley, it's 541-552-6782. Or send us an email during the live broadcast. That address is jx@jeffnet.org. First, let's hear the weekend weather forecast. Here is Jefferson Exchange producer Charlotte Duran.
On the Northern California coast today, sunny with a high near 58. Tonight, mostly clear with a low at 45. In Redding and Red Bluff today, sunny with a high near 92. Tonight, clear with a low around 60. In Yreka today, sunny with a high near 82. Tonight, clear with a low around 47. In Weed and Mount Shasta today, sunny with a high near 79. Tonight, clear with a low at 40. On the southern Oregon coast today, areas of fog before 11, otherwise sunny with a high near 64. Tonight, clear with a low at 51. In the Klamath Basin today, sunny with a high near 75. Tonight, clear with a low at 41. In Grants Pass, Medford, and Ashland today, sunny with a high near 84. Tonight, clear with a low at 48. On the southern Oregon Cascades and Siskiyous today, sunny with a high near 67. Tonight, clear with a low at 36. In Roseburg and the Umpqua Basin today, sunny with a high near 80. Tonight, clear with a low at 48. And in Eugene and Springfield today, sunny with a high near 78. Tonight, clear with a low at 44.
I had mentioned in our first hour that there was a wildfire burning in Tehama County. That's the county in which Red Bluff is located. And that it was not causing huge problems yet, but it actually is quite large. Figures I saw just a few moments ago, about 10,000 acres now on the Panther fire burning about 33 miles northeast of Chico. So wind is whipping things up there. It's obviously windy in parts of California. The terrain is drier than it normally would be this time of year. It looks like we're entering a very, very dangerous fire season around the region. And, of course, the temperatures are about 15 to 20 degrees above normal for much of the region at the moment. Things should back off just a bit for Redding and Red Bluff down to about 86 tomorrow. They'll be rising a little bit on the north side of the state line, on the Oregon side. But things might actually return to more normal temperature ranges by Monday, Tuesday of next week. But I'm also seeing some possible reports of thunderstorms on Monday and Tuesday, which, here again, not welcome news for firefighters or anybody else who has to deal with fires and smoke and all the other things that thunderstorms tend to bring to our region. So keep an eye on the forecast. Keep an ear on what's happening with fire conditions. But it looks like we are indeed, as firefighters had suspected, into an early fire season this year around the state of Jefferson. Thank you so much for listening to us today on the Jefferson Exchange. We're always glad to have your time and attention. And if you'd like to take part in our conversations, feel free. The phone number is here again, 800-838-3760, toll-free anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, it's 541-552-6782. Or send us an email. That address again, jx@jeffnet.org. Stories of pilgrims and their journeys in search of spiritual fulfillment abound in cultures around the planet. And they're not just stories in the past tense. The Muslim pilgrimage to Mecca, the Hajj, still takes place every year. And there are lasting pilgrimages in other religious traditions as well, like the pilgrimage on the Camino de Santiago in Spain. People come from all corners of the planet to walk the Camino. Today's guest walked it, could not get it out of her mind, and went back to shoot a documentary about it. Walking the Camino, Six Ways to Santiago is the film. Lydia Smith is the producer and director. She once called Ashland home. The film shows several times in Ashland this weekend, following its world premiere at the Ashland Independent Film Festival several weeks back. Lydia Smith, thanks so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange today.
Oh, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. Tell us about you and your work generally before we get into the Camino. What motivates you to do what you do?
Well, I guess I can start back in, I studied film at Berkeley, and my interest in documentaries started when I saw a film on incest and child sexual abuse. And it wasn't something that had happened in my life, but I was so amazed at the power that film can have, because it was such an uplifting documentary on like one of the worst subjects you can imagine. And so it was sort of in that moment that I decided I wanted to do something that could make a difference, that could impact people and could make the world a little bit better. And so that's kind of where it started. And my path was very circuitous. I worked in production, I worked in camera, I worked in lots of different areas, and kind of always kept a little finger in documentaries, but worked in lots of different areas in the film business throughout the years.
Sounds like you got to know lots of the different skill sets that you would need to be able to do a documentary yourself.
I did. I mean, I produced quite a few documentaries for CNN and for foreign TV stations and things like that. But definitely, all my thousands and thousands of hours on set, on commercials and on features and things, definitely added to my skill set to be able to handle. I mean, this shoot that we had for the Camino was so complicated logistically, and so I think it was all those years of experience that really helped me be able to manage it.
So, Lydia, let's talk about the Camino de Santiago, where it is and what the general meaning of it is.
Well, what we show in the film is called the Camino Francés, which is a 500-mile section that starts just over the border in France in a small town called Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, and you walk all the way across northern Spain to Santiago de Compostela, which is about 80 kilometers from the coast. So it's pretty much the whole entire country that you're walking across. But traditionally, this pilgrimage has been around for over 1,200 years, and traditionally people would just walk outside their houses and start walking. It was very popular in the Middle Ages, and they would walk from Denmark, from Poland, from France, and they would just walk. And the reason this section is called the Camino Francés is because there's three different routes that all converge on this little town because it was the easiest place to cross the Pyrenees. And so that's why it's called the French Way, because it takes these three routes that come from France. And the pilgrimage came about because legend has it that the bones of St. James are buried in Santiago de Compostela. And so it was declared a pilgrimage. I don't know the exact year. I think it was somewhere in the 800s by one of the archbishops. And so that the Catholic Church would essentially grant a plenary indulgence, which means, believe it or not, I'm still confused by this. I'm not Catholic, so it's complicated. But I think you bypass purgatory, and there's a different kind of level of plenary indulgence if you do it on a holy year, which is when St. James Day, which is July 25th, falls on a Sunday, as opposed to a regular year. So it's all pretty complicated, but I do think the Catholic Church really had it right in that when you take on a pilgrimage, when you take on walking for a month, 2 months, 3 months, you are changed. You're a different person. You just don't go back to being the person that you were before that. So I think they really did know there's something special about doing that.
It's always a little tricky talking about film projects on the radio, but we did get a chance to pluck some good bits of sound out of your trailer, your fundraising trailer, so that people can get a little sense of at least what walking the Camino sounds like. So let's first hear a few stories about why people went in the first place.
Well, that's what's so great about the Camino is people go for a gazillion different reasons. There's pretty much everything you can imagine. And statistically, only about a quarter of the people do it for strictly Catholic reasons, Catholic religious reasons. I would say my kind of guesstimation would be about another 50% are spiritual and do it for some sort of spiritual reason or kind of a deeper reason, but not necessarily a religious reason. And then another quarter, I would say, are doing it just for the adventure of it, for, you know, to see if they can walk that far or tourism. But there's a saying on the Camino that many start out as tourists, but most end as pilgrims.
Got it. So let's play a little clip from that trailer then. This is people talking about why they went on the walking the Camino.
Been having a rough 6 months with a lot of disease and family and stuff like that. So it's soul searching mostly.
I graduated university. I'm not exactly sure what I want to do. I think the walk is a way of asking a question over time.
When I first started, I was just walking, and people said to me, "You will find the answer." And then I realized that I didn't have the question.
That's a really interesting perspective. People looking for answers, but also people looking for the right questions to ask in the first place. And you can tell by the accents, Lydia Smith, that people do come from all corners of the planet to do this.
Mm-hmm. We featured in our documentary that last person that talked was Sam, and she's from Brazil, but she's half British. We had a guy from Portugal, a woman from Denmark, two guys from Canada. And then a woman and her child from France, and then, of course, Annie, who was our American.
And so do you remember your first knowledge of the Camino? Who first told you about it or when
you know,
you first read
I
about
actually
it?
Don't. I lived in Spain for 6 years, and in Spain, everybody knows about the Camino. It's just part of their culture. And so I don't really remember exactly when I first heard about it, but I do remember when it really kind of got etched in my mind was one of the teachers was at the school I was at, school year abroad. She later came back, and she was the director of the school, and she had done the Camino, and she wrote a book on it, and she gave it to me. And even though I'm bilingual, I'm a very lazy Spanish reader. I read for pleasure, so I didn't read her book. She gave it to me, and then back in 2000, or I guess it was in January 2008, when I kind of got all of a sudden the idea just popped in my mind out of nowhere. I dug through all my books to find this book by my old Spanish teacher to read it, and I was like, I need to go do this. And I need to go do it now. And that's what's really quite unique about the Camino. And I'm sure, hopefully, that we have some callers that'll come in that it's so common that when you get called to the Camino, you just know it, and you know you're supposed to go do it. And it's unlike any experience I've ever had, where people just have this gut knowing, like, I'm supposed to go do this.
Lydia Smith is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, producer and director of the documentary film Walking the Camino, showing in Ashland this weekend. We'll talk much more with Lydia and take your phone calls and emails when we return to the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 15. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service, I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Lydia Smith, a documentary filmmaker. She is the producer and director of the film Walking the Camino, 6 Ways to Santiago. We're talking about walking the Camino across northern Spain in the general direction of Santiago de Compostela. which is believed to have a connection to St. James. And lots of people make this trek every year from all corners of the world and find out a lot about not only northern Spain, but a lot about themselves as well. The film does show several times in Ashland this weekend. You can join us here on the Jefferson Exchange and talk about the Camino and the making of the film about it. 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. Lydia, do you know the show times for this weekend? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but...
Yes, we are showing at 1:30, 4 o'clock, and 6:30. They actually just added the 1:30 screenings earlier this week. I guess there's been a high demand. I'm not sure. I've been down at the Newport Beach Film Festival all week this past week.
And these showings are at the Varsity Theater in Ashland on
Yes. Which
day?
They start tonight. I think tonight starts at 4 o'clock and 6:30, and then there's matinees on the weekend. And then we have a week-long engagement for these benefit screenings. So the film will be playing till next Thursday, I believe. And I will be at all the screenings on Saturday and Sunday.
Well, I'm glad to have you here now. And I want to go back to something you said just a few moments ago, though, about being called to the Camino. This is it sounds a bit more urgent than getting the decision to do something in your own life. Did you feel like you were called to go there when you first walked it?
Oh, completely. I mean, it was almost eerie. I've never felt something so strong where it was just like, I am supposed to do this. I need to do this. And what's funny is I think I sort of pushed it away a little bit, and there was just no pushing it away. It was just a really strong feeling that this is what I'm supposed to do. And what's interesting about the Camino is for most of us that have this experience, you just get voracious about wanting to know more about the Camino, wanting to understand it, wanting to read as many books, and people do lots of research. And it is just bizarre because people from all over, I've talked to hundreds and thousands of pilgrims, and we all have the same experience.
So was there any doubt in your mind once you had walked it, and I assume this was without a crew, that you were going to go back and make a documentary about it?
Oh, I had no intention of making a documentary.
Really?
None whatsoever.
Why?
Well, because I had independently produced and directed a short film on friendships between typical kids and kids with disabilities. And producing and directing an independent film documentary is so hard. Raising the money is so challenging, and I swore I would never, ever do it again. And then the other reason was, well, there was one man in particular that kept saying to me, oh, you should do a documentary about this, and I kept saying, absolutely not. The other reason, apart from the challenges of making a film, was my experience on the Camino was so beautiful and so sacred and so magical that I was really scared I couldn't do it justice. So I didn't want to mar it. I didn't want to dishonor the Camino in any way. And the other thing is, I think maybe this is a sentiment many artists can relate to, is there's this feeling of like, if I can't do it perfectly, I'm just not going to do it. And I was really scared. I was scared I couldn't do a great job, so why do it? But then I started thinking, well, I'm bilingual. I lived in Spain for 6 years. I'm a documentary filmmaker. I've been in the film business for almost 30 years. I am an avid outdoors person. I love to walk. I'm a spiritual practitioner from Science of Mind. Who else would be more qualified to make a documentary about the Camino for American audience? And because I had that same thing when I got back, the same kind of calling I felt to walk, I had that I should make this film. And I, again, tried to ignore it, but it was clear. It was really what I was supposed to be doing. And as hokey as it sounds, it really felt like part of the reason I was born was to make this film. Like, this is really part of my reason for being on the planet. And that's a weird feeling. I mean, it's not a weird feeling. I've just never experienced it so viscerally that this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
So how long did you fight off the feeling that you wanted to make the documentary until you finally succumbed?
It was about a month.
Oh.
Yeah, it was about a month. And coming back from the Camino is a very, I mean, I think people have lots of different experiences. For me, it was really hard because you go from this life of where you just do what your intuition says. You stop when you need to stop. You go on, and you don't really have any set schedule. And coming back into, you know, quote, the real world, for me, was really challenging. I mean, I had a tough time for about a month, 6 weeks. But making the decision to make the documentary did really shift things for me. It really kind of gave me, like, this is what I'm supposed to do.
We're talking to Lydia Smith about her documentary, Walking the Camino, Six Ways to Santiago, showing in Ashland tonight, Saturday and Sunday. And Lydia will be there for the Saturday and Sunday showings. Here is Daniel in Sonoma County. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. Lydia, this is Daniel. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. Daniel was one of our kind of Camino consultants, and I met Daniel at an American Pilgrims gathering even before we started shooting.
All right, Daniel. So tell us, Daniel, a bit about your experience. You must have done it yourself then, too, right?
I've walked the Camino a few times, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it, what Lydia says is so true, that the Camino engenders a certain kind of passion in people once you've been there. That makes you want to go back. It's the experience of being a pilgrim on a daily basis. Life is simple. And I think the Camino gives you the opportunity, the experience of being there with other pilgrims from all over the world, gives you the opportunity to be the best person that you can be.
Yeah.
Life is not complicated. Life is simple, and it allows you to really reflect on who you are, who you've been, who you want to be. And you can bring that home. I think that's one of the things that makes the Camino such a powerful experience. Because when you're there for 4, 5, 6 weeks, it's a chance to really experience perhaps parts of yourself that you don't really know. And you can come home, and then there's a saying that goes, the Camino really only begins in Santiago.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to come home, and now what do I do with that experience? How do I and bring that experience into my life? And fortunately for so many of us, you know, Lydia, you decided to take that experience into a lot of other people's lives through the film.
Daniel, thanks so much for the call. Good to hear from you. And we can take additional calls for Lydia Smith, the producer and director of Walking the Camino, Six Ways to Santiago, here on the Jefferson Exchange. Our phone number is 800-838-3760, toll-free anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. And I did mention, Lydia, we'd pulled a few sound cuts out of the fundraiser trailer for the movie. You had mentioned Annie O'Neill, the American, here, and I want to play a bit of her talking about what she faced just considering taking her own walk on the Camino.
I'm Annie O'Neill. I work as an actress, a teacher, a yoga teacher. I'm an ageless and timeless being, but if you ask my mom, she would say she gave birth to me 40-something years ago. I have this issue with death. I call it my death voice. It just kind of pops up all the time. As everyone has been, oh, you're doing the Camino, that's so great. Immediately my death voice is going, they're saying that because then later, when I die, they'll go, we thought it was going to be such a great thing for her to do the Camino. We didn't know she was going to die.
That the voice of Annie O'Neill, an American, walking on the Camino, and that is the name of Lydia Smith's film, Walking the Camino. How did you find people like Annie? I mean, first of all, given the feelings that people have about walking the Camino, were you somewhat reluctant to approach them in the first place?
Actually not. Annie is actually the only person I knew beforehand. Annie and I have been friends for a long, long time. And when I told her I was thinking about doing this documentary, she immediately said, I want to be involved. I want to be connected. I want to do it. And then we talked about the idea of her being one of the pilgrims. And for me, it was important to have at least somebody, one person that I knew would be open and would be vulnerable and funny. Annie's actually very funny. So Annie was the only pilgrim that was kind of pre-planned. The rest of them, we just kind of picked up along the way. And we would just chat up people at lunch or as they're walking. And little by little, we kind of found our group. And there's actually a pretty interesting story with one of them, Misa, the Danish woman. She, my producer, Sally Bentley, I sent her out to kind of try and find pilgrims. And so the very first day, we're walking out of St. John, and Sally hooks up with Misa, and they walk the whole day. And at the end of the day, Sally's like, oh, Lydia, we have this great pilgrim, Misa. You got to meet her, and I think she'd be a really great character. And I agreed, and so we started filming Misa. And then Misa met William, and her story became very interesting. And on the very last day before they arrived in Santiago, I asked all the pilgrims in the interviews why they decided to be part of the film. And so I asked Misa that, and she looked at me, and she goes, well, I haven't told you this, and I've only just told William a couple days ago. She said, but I had a dream 10 days before I got on the Camino. I was still back in Denmark, and I had this dream. I was on Oprah, and I was on Oprah because I'd been on an American TV show about the Camino de Santiago. And she said when Sally approached her literally less than an hour walking out from St. John and told her what we were doing, she said she just about, like, collapsed. And she said, how could I say no? I had to say yes. I'd had this dream that I was on Oprah because I'd been on an American documentary about the Camino.
But let's reframe this. This is a Danish woman talking, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And so, of course, like, as I saw, like, when Oprah's show kind of went, and I was like, wait, Misa has this dream. It has to come true. But who knows what will happen. But it was a pretty neat story.
So you're trying to be the Oprah substitute? Is that what we should extrapolate?
Oh, well, there's a whole other one. No, I'm hoping that we're going to get our show on the Oprah show, but I'm not sure where she stands right now on that. But
right, on her own network now. So help us understand, though, Lydia, both from your own perspective and that of the other people you met, both when you walked the Camino yourself and then shot this documentary, what makes this particular walk so deep, so spiritual, as opposed to, say, walking the length of California or Oregon on the Pacific Crest Trail?
Well, I think, you know, it's something that I think a lot of us can't totally put our finger on, but I think there's got to be some connection to literally the fact that there's been millions of people that have walked before you. I mean, occasionally when I was walking, I would kind of look down and go, wow, millions of people have walked before me in this very place right here. And I think something gets left. And I think it's also the fact that, you know, people, especially in the Middle Ages, they were walking for deep religious reasons, for seeking God, seeking to be a better person, and seeking forgiveness for their sins. And so there's a strong intention to be more aligned with who we really are. And so I think, you know, Pacific Crest Trail, I haven't done it, so I can't totally speak to it, but I don't think it has that kind of intention. I think a lot of people do it for the adventure, and there's also not the kinds of numbers of people that have gone through. And then the other thing that's so special about the Camino is along the way there's albergues, which are special pilgrim hostels, and some are private, some are run by the towns, local towns, and some are run by the churches. And some are by donation, others are a small fee. And what's extraordinary is how many of these albergues are run by volunteers. So these are people that come over for 2 weeks. They clean, they tend to people's feet, they talk to pilgrims, they work tirelessly for usually 16-hour days for free, and they love it. And it is really quite something to be served at that level. I mean, to walk 6 hours and to have blisters on your feet and someone you don't even know spend an hour tending to your feet and they expect absolutely nothing from you. I mean, that's extraordinary.
It really is, and it sort of echoes Jesus and St. Francis and the tending to the feet in both of those traditions. How long a walk is this? On the Camino Francés, the portion that you covered here, I mean, how long does it take you to do this? How many miles are we talking?
It's 500 miles, and most people take between 30 to 40 days. And I encourage people to take their time, to not rush it. It's really fantastic just to be able to say, oh, I want to stop here or take a day off or really not push yourself.
Well, you've mentioned the blisters, so let's hear a little clip again from the trailer to talk about the physical challenges on the Camino.
We went through a couple of hard days. I was having a lot of pain in my leg and feeling kind of demoralized, and Jenny was really good. She kind of carried me through the morning, and then yesterday she was having a little bit of a harder day, but I was feeling really good, so we kind of like balance each other out a bit.
The voices of people in Walking the Camino, Six Ways to Santiago, the documentary by Lydia Smith about walking the Camino Francés. But so, does anybody ever do this just as a tourist? I guess is the major question here, Lydia. Or do people really have a dedication when they get out there?
There's definitely a lot of people that start off as tourists. Tomás, who's a Portuguese man, and we feature him in our documentary. He was kind of on the fence. He wasn't sure if he was going to do the Camino or go learn how to kite surf. And for him, it was just like, I want to see if I can walk 500 miles. I want to get to know Spain a little bit better. And so he was definitely had no deep purpose. William, who walked as well and ended up meeting Misa, who's from Canada, he was just kind of traveling throughout Europe and ended up in St. John because of a distant uncle or something, and then heard all these people were going to walk, and he's like, well, I needed to get in shape, and so I thought I'd just walk. So lots of people do it for different, you know, reasons that have nothing to do with pilgrimage per se.
We've talked a lot about the internal terrain involved with the Camino, but what's the scenery like?
It's really varied. There's a lot of different landscapes that you'd encounter. There's some hills, lots of flat parts and fields. Sometimes you're walking through towns and cities. Other times you're out on dirt roads. I mean, pretty much you name it, it's there. And that's the other thing I think that surprises people is just how beautiful Spain is and the variety of landscapes, because you start off in Navarra, which is kind of mountainous and very green, and La Rioja, which is known for its wine and all the vineyards and kind of Sonoma, Napa area looking almost. And then there's this flat section called the Meseta that's all wheat and barley fields. And then it just goes into the mountains of Galicia. And so there's a lot of different landscapes.
And judging by what I've seen in the trailer, you've certainly done it visual justice. We'll talk more about Walking the Camino with the producer-director Lydia Smith here on the Jefferson Exchange. We'll take your phone calls and emails if you'd like to join in. Back on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute five. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is the filmmaker Lydia Smith, formerly of Ashland. She will be back in Ashland this weekend to do talkbacks at several showings of her new documentary, Walking the Camino, Six Ways to Santiago, about walking the Santiago Trail in Spain, the Camino de Santiago Trail in Spain, which is a site for pilgrims, a World Heritage Site identified by the United Nations and the Council of Europe. Much to talk about here on the Jefferson Exchange. You can join our discussion about this spiritual journey and the journey of making the film about it. Our phone number is on the exchange, 800-838-3760, toll-free around the region in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Lydia, we were just talking about the variety of terrain, high places, low places, mountains, valleys, things like that. Is the Camino scary at any points, either physically or spiritually?
Oh, that's a fantastic question. I think I think a lot of people do have moments. The meseta is known to be hard for people. It wasn't for me personally, but the meseta is a very flat section, and there's not a lot of other things to distract your mind. And so a lot, if you're kind of on this journey of just walking with really nothing to look at and nothing, nowhere to go with all your thoughts except to be with yourself, that can be kind of scary for people. I think if you are a meditator, it can be quite glorious and really just a wonderful experience. But if it's your first time being alone with your thoughts, I mean, in our days, normal days, I mean, we're bombarded by outside influences, by the radio, by TV, by people, and it's, you know, texts and Facebook, and it's so rare to have this time of just complete being with yourself.
We have an email here from Peter in Eureka. He says, I want to ask your guest if she had seen the movie by Emilio Estevez called The Way.
Yes, actually, we have quite a connection, our film and The Way. They were in pre-production at the same time we were, and I found that out. And so I got in touch with them, and then they were going to shoot at the same time we were. And then they had to postpone. And so once I finished shooting and came back and we put together our fundraising trailer, I sent it to Martin Sheen, and he loved it. And he shared it with Emilio, and then he and Emilio shared it with all their actors. It was sort of what they did to train their crew, to train the actors, because none of them had walked. And so they really used our film to kind of get the feeling of what it is to walk. And then Martin, they had a big event in D.C. that I was invited to, and at that event I kind of stood up to congratulate them, and Martin just went off on how much he loved the movie, and he was trying to help me raise money. Nobody donated money necessarily at that event, but he was really great. We actually have a little video of Martin kind of raving about the film on our website, which is CaminoDocumentary.org. So Martin was really, really very supportive of the film and trying to help us kind of get the word out. And
the concept of a fundraising trailer, is this a fairly recent development in how to get some funding to continue a project?
Yeah, I mean, there's been this whole concept of crowdfunding has been in the last 5 years, I'd say, and has really taken off. And for me, that's how we raised the money for the film. I'd raised enough for the shoot between myself and one of my producers who actually made the film that inspired me to get into film. She came on board and came back, and she was my second unit director. So we had enough for the shoot. And then when we needed to raise money to edit, the traditional funding channels for documentaries really weren't open to us, because most foundations are focused on a specific social issue, and then corporations generally don't want to touch anything that's spiritual in nature. And so that kind of left us in this void. And after about a year of hitting my head against a wall and getting no's all over the place, it was a friend of mine from high school that said, Lydia, you know, you should turn to our high school class. And so I started doing fundraisers, and I started going all over the country, and we started a whole crowdfunding appeal on our website, and it's pretty remarkable. We raised $250,000 from individual donors.
Is it true you sold your house in Ashland to help finance this?
I sold my house in Ashland. At that time, it wasn't to finance the film. It was for retirement.
So you thought at the time.
But it's the money from selling my house in Ashland really was what got me what I've been living on. I've only put in a small portion of money into the film, but I haven't gotten paid. And kind of the whole roundabout thing with Ashland was I do have a couple friends, one friend from high school in Ashland, and then what's neat, I'm staying this weekend with the realtor that sold me my house, and then sold my house for me, and we've stayed in touch, and we've been friends for years.
We apparently have another friend of yours on the line here. Here's Veronica in Washington, D.C. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Lydia Smith, the producer-director of Walking the Camino.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, Lydia. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you for being online and for letting us know. I just found out on Facebook that you were on live right now, and I dialed just to make sure maybe I have a chance to get through and let you know that I've enjoyed very much the postings and the trailer of the documentary. And it's amazing how things just don't happen as casualties. I mean, things just happen for a reason. I remember, I think it was before my walk in Spain, because I did it in September, October 2011. There was a fundraising in Washington at Columbia Road. There was a small bookstore in Columbia Road.
Yes.
And I remember going there with my mom and telling her how excited I was about doing this, the Camino, and how other people also knew about this and how it was becoming known in the United States. And my mother didn't understand much, but I was there, and we listened to the presentation and contributed some. And then I went on my walk, and when I came back, everything started flowing towards your documentary. I lost sight of it for a couple of months because I was really into getting back into my life and picking myself up from leaving the Camino, because, as you said before, I relate to everything that you said, everything that we feel as human beings at the Camino, we carry with us, mm-hmm. and it changes it. It's part of our DNA eventually, no? It becomes mm-hmm. part of it. So one thing has led to another. I've watched the event on YouTube that Emilio Estevan showed at Washington Georgetown University,
mm-hmm.
and your voice also came part of that video, and you were introduced, and you were mentioned by Emilio Estevez. And I remember participating, or remember that video somewhere, that documentary somewhere. And one thing has led to another, and we've corresponded a couple of times in the past week, where I'm trying to have a campaign started for the AFI Docs Film Festival to invite Lydia to the D.C. area. So I have gotten some friends together. We have been posting online and sending requests, making phone calls to AFI, and see if they can bring you here.
All right, Veronica.
For the East Coast to have a chance of, you know, watching the documentary.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Veronica. And this is what's so extraordinary about the Camino is I've never met Veronica, and she's putting together a petition to try and get us over to Silver Docks. I mean, that's what's extraordinary about the Camino, is it really brings out, like Daniel said, the best in people.
Interesting, too. She talked about her difficulty in leaving the Camino. I get the sense that you can leave the Camino, but it takes a while for the Camino to leave you if it ever departs. And in fact, let me play a final clip here from the fundraising trailer about people and their spiritual thoughts and revelations about the Camino.
I'm quite frankly confused a lot of the time about things beyond the physical, if I can put it that way. There are moments where you think all of this is part of some big, massive whole. And then other days I think it's just a big, bloody mess, and I'm just happy to be walking here. There may be something beyond, and I don't know what it is, but I've learned to be very patient with myself and try and accept that this day is what I have now, and there are no guarantees about tomorrow, and so I will walk this day as best I can. And I think that's where I am right now.
That the voice of a man from British Columbia walking the Camino in Spain, in Walking the Camino, Lydia Smith's documentary. People are very different, I gather, by the time they reach the end of the trail from the people they were at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. And then actually, as I think Daniel said, the real Camino, I think, starts once you get home. That's when all the growth that happened while you were on the trail really starts to kind of take root in your life.
Is this something you would recommend for just about anybody? I mean, I imagine you're making the film for this reason.
No, you know, I'm not making the film for this. I'm really, my intention with making the film is really to inspire people to do their Camino. I am a great lover of the Camino, no question, but I don't think it's for everybody. What I really want to see is to inspire people to listen to themselves, to find out what is their Camino, what are they meant to do in this world? Are they meant to start, you know, a shelter for rescue dogs? Are they meant to, you know, foster kids? Are they meant to, whatever it may be, to really follow their path? And it's been amazing because it has had the effect that it's inspired lots and lots of people to go do the Camino. But it really, to me, the Camino's not necessarily for everybody. But I do want to mention, too, there are lots of different ways to do the Camino. In our film, we show it as you walk, you carry your own backpack. But there's actually high-end tours. There's a woman that's been leading tours on the Camino for 20 years. Her company's called Spanish Steps, and she found out about us, reached out to me, and offered to do a fundraising tour. She worked for free for 2 weeks, and that was what kept us alive back in 2011. And so you can do a high-end tour. There's also a middle ground. There's a guy, Rio Travel, that they offer kind of an electronic guide, and they'll pre-book your hotels. And so that's the thing, too, that I think the real message of the Camino is you really have to find your way in life, in living your life. And that may be doing the Camino. That may be, you know, sailing around the world. I don't know. We're all different, and there's not really a right or wrong way. It's about finding what's right for you.
I am struck by the content in the fundraising trailer, the interviews with people who are figuring out as they go along, you know, I don't need all the stuff that I started with.
And yeah.
In a real literal sense, unloading themselves of some baggage, which is almost undoubtedly happening on a spiritual level as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's very common. I myself sent back to Barcelona, I think, 2 packages while I was walking.
What was in those?
There's actually a really funny story. It was just some clothes, and I sent it back to a good friend of mine, who's a guy, and he's married, and I knew him before he was married, and I'm friends with his wife, and I would send back all my, some extra clothes, and including in that was one of my bras. And I found out when I got home that he would actually open the packages and gave them to his cleaning lady to wash. And so the cleaning lady had no idea. All he knows is that the husband's giving her clothes from some other woman to wash. And so she goes up to the wife and she's like, you know, Senora, I'm washing a bra that is not yours. And anyway, obviously Monse knew about the whole thing, but that whole story was very funny. I found out about that once I got back.
The film is called Walking the Camino, 6 Ways to Santiago, and Lydia Smith is the producer and director. The film screens in Ashland at the Varsity Theater over the course of the next week, and Lydia Smith will be present for all of the showings on Saturday and Sunday at the Varsity Theater. Lydia, thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, thank you for having me. I look forward to seeing everybody this weekend.
All right, take care. And that will do it for today's Jefferson Exchange. You can find out more about the program and subjects and suggest a guest at jeffexchange.org. We do provide show topics and recordings on our Facebook page as well, with the same links available on Twitter. If you're listening on the airwaves in the morning, Here and Now is coming up next. If you're listening to our evening rebroadcast, we'll be followed by news from the BBC. Monday on the Exchange at 8 o'clock, we'll talk about Arson Awareness Week and what that means. At 8:30, we'll talk about the spotted winged Drosophila, the fruit fly that seems to be threatening more and more crops in Oregon valleys. Then at 9 o'clock, we'll talk to the author of Her. It's a memoir, a story of a twin's survival after her twin sister's death. All that coming up Monday on the Jefferson Exchange. Our producer and today's engineer, Charlotte Duran. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Please join us again Monday at 8 for another edition of the Jefferson Exchange here on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. And have a great weekend.